phrasal verbs, and more, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome back to class. So far, we've been talking a lot about intonation, and we're going to continue talking about intonation a little bit more in this lesson. If you remember way back in our second class, we talked about what words get stressed. Content words get stressed. Structure words don't get stressed. Content words are the nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Structure words are everything else, including prepositions. Today, let's talk a little bit about prepositions, and let me tell you a time when they do get stressed. But before I tell you about that, let's look at a few phrases that have prepositions and see how they don't get stressed. For example, if I say, sit on the bed, sit on the bed. I'm going to sit on the bed. Let's look at the word sit and on. Sit is a verb. On is a preposition. Sit has more stress than on. Sit on the bed. I think I'm going to sit on the bed. How about walk by the store? Walk by the store. Walk is your verb. By is a preposition. Walk gets more stress than by. Walk by. Look over there. Look over there. Hey, look over there. Look is the verb. Over is a preposition. Look gets more stress than over. Hey, look over there. Fish in the river. Let's go fish in the river. Fish, in this case, we're using it as a verb. In is a preposition. Fish in. Let's go fish in the river. Fish gets stressed. In does not. Go towards the beach. I think you should just go towards the beach and then you'll see it. Go towards. Go is a verb. Towards is a preposition. Go gets more stress. That makes sense, doesn't it? I've always said verbs get more stress than prepositions. But let me tell you about a time when this does not happen. Do you know what a phrasal verb is? A phrasal verb looks like a verb plus a preposition. If you look at this in a grammatical sense, it's not really acting as a preposition, it's acting as a participle. But it looks like a preposition. For example, when I say find out, I want to find out this information. Find out. What did I just stress? I didn't stress the verb, which is find. I stressed out, which looks like a preposition. That's because these two words together go together to have one special meaning. And this is what we call a phrasal verb. You may have already heard a lot about phrasal verbs, and you'll realize that in English there are literally thousands and thousands of phrasal verbs. So many that sometimes you may get really confused. So in this class, we're not going to spend a lot of time learning all of the possible phrasal verbs. You can do that. You can find books online. You can find books in libraries on phrasal verbs. And it's challenging to learn all of the phrasal verbs that are in English. But you can do that. You can do it on your own. The thing that is important, though, is recognizing how the intonation is in phrasal verbs. You'll notice that the second part of this two-part verb or phrasal verb is the word that gets stressed. So something like find out. Find out. Something else I want to point out about phrasal verbs is sometimes you can separate them, meaning you can put a noun in the middle, and sometimes you can't. That's something that you can learn too as you go along and learn phrasal verbs. Consider the words grow up, grow up. Together, grow and up have a special meaning. Where were you raised? Where did you spend your childhood and your teenage years? Where did you grow up? It has a special meaning in our minds. We're not just saying grow. Grow reminds me of raising plants. But grow up means I had a lot of experiences to become an adult. Grow up. They need to be together in order to have this special meaning. Where did you grow up? Go over. Go over. Go over. The teacher says, I'd like to go over these mistakes with you. Go over. This means I'd like to review. It's a special meaning. A lot of times phrasal verbs have idiomatic meanings. Fed up. Fed up. No, this doesn't mean that you're full. It means that you're really sick and tired of something. I'm fed up with work. I'm fed up. Fed up. Up has more stress. And you always hear people say when we knock on a door, come in. Come in. In gets the stress because these are phrasal verbs. Sometimes you'll see phrasal verbs with a preposition, meaning that it's a three-part verb. For example, go on with, go on with. It looks like a verb, go, plus a preposition on, plus a preposition with. But actually, go on is the phrasal verb, with is the preposition. So when I say that, where do you hear the stress? Go on with. Go on with your work. Go on with your work. Yes, on gets stressed, the second word, because go on is the phrasal verb. With is a preposition. It doesn't get a lot of stress. Go on with what you're doing. Get out of. Get out of here. Don't try to get out of your work again. Walk away with. Walk away with. Away gets the stress. Walk away with. He walked away with $1 million when he won the lottery. Walk away with. Sit down on. Sit down on. Sit down on the chair. Please sit down on the chair. Sit down is the phrasal verb. On is a preposition. Sit, come on, sit down on the chair. Back away from. Back away from. Back away from. Back away from. Back away from the cliff. You might fall off. Okay, so when we have a three-part phrasal verb, the stress is on the second word. Now, something that's rather interesting is sometimes we have words that can be a phrasal verb, but we can also turn them into a noun. Consider the phrasal verb pick up. Pick up. Pick plus up has the meaning of go gather something, go get something. We could say pick up some food after work. Or we could separate it and say, pick the children up after school. Pick up. It's a verb. It's a phrasal verb. But what if I said, pick up. Pick up. Did you hear me? I just stressed the first word, pick. Pick up. What just happened to that word? A pickup is not a verb. A pickup is a noun. In fact, a pickup is a kind of truck that has an open back usually. A pickup truck. So I've taken the phrasal verb, I stress the first part or the first word, and I get a new meaning. I get a noun. Does this remind you of anything? This reminds me of those compound nouns that we talked about before. We have just turned this word into a noun. How about if I say take out? Take out. Take out the garbage, please. Take out. But how about a noun? Take out. What is take out? Take out food. If you go to a restaurant and you want to take the food home, you could get take out food. takeout. Let's get takeout tonight. I don't want to cook. Takeout. Okay, we could say run off, run off. Or maybe we would say the airplane ran off the runway, run off. But if I change it to a noun, I get run off, run off. Every spring, a lot of water comes down the mountains into the valley, and we call this runoff. The water runs off the mountains, and the noun, or what we call the water when it arrives in the valley, is runoff, runoff. We can make up something. We can make a story up or invent a story, make up. But if we say make up, now we're talking about cosmetics, a noun. The woman puts on makeup in the morning. Makeup. So to make up, some makeup. Very different ideas. Hand out. Hand out. I'm going outside to hand out these flyers. I'll stand on the street and hand out these flyers. But a handout, the noun, a handout is when you give somebody something, charity usually. The man on the street was asking for a handout. Please give me some extra change, some extra money. I need a handout. Pretty different, isn't it? To spin off means to spin and then go away. So when I was a little girl, I used to play with a game where we put paint on some spinning paper. And the paint used to spin off from the paper and splash everybody around us. To spin off is the verb. But spin off, the spin off actually means the result of something. So quite different, isn't it? To goof off, means to play around, not do a good job. If you goof off at work, you're not really doing your work. You're just playing. So you shouldn't goof off. But the person who does goof off is known as a goof off. A goof off. A goof off is somebody who just plays. It's a person. It's a noun. He plays. He doesn't pay attention to what he's doing. A goof off. If I want you to come with me, I say, hey, come on, come on, come on, let's go. But if we talk about a come on, now we're talking about flirting or something that's said or done to attract the opposite sex, a come on. We use kick off to talk about starting something new. We could say, let's kick off the new year with a party. Let's kick off your birthday by going to a restaurant together. A new beginning, a start. But a kickoff is the noun. We talk about that especially with American football. And there's the kickoff as the player begins to kick the ball. The kickoff. To try out, well, it means to try. To try out or to try something out, to try it. Do you like it? Hey, I have some new sushi here. Would you like to try this sushi out? Try out. But a tryout, the noun, is like an audition. You should try out for the play. But when we do that, the audition is called the tryouts. I should go to the tryout to try out for the play, to see if I can be in the play. We do the same thing for sports. If you want to be on a sports team, usually you need to try out. But we call it, for example, the football tryouts. The football tryouts. Try out is a noun. To make over, to make something over is to make it better. But a makeover is the noun. Sometimes we talk about a makeover with cosmetics, or sometimes we talk about a makeover for a room in your house to restore it, make it more beautiful. A makeover. To take off. Take off usually means to remove. In some cases, it means to grow and get better. For example, our business will really take off this year. Business took off last year. Make it a lot better. It goes higher. It gets better. But also take off could mean to remove something. So take your shoes off. Take your shoes off before you enter the house. Take off. But a takeoff means to take somebody else's idea and use it. That's a takeoff. To take over, this is idiomatic, but to take over means to replace somebody or something with something else. My coworker took over the new position. A takeover, the noun, on the other hand, is when an organization or sometimes government comes in and becomes in charge. We could say the government takeover or the business takeover. The business came in, they bought the other business, and they started something new. It was a takeover. To wake up, you know what it is. We get up in the morning, we wake up, we open our eyes, we open our eyes, we wake up. But have you heard of a wake-up call? A wake-up call. Wake-up, describing call. It's no longer a verb. We're using it as a noun. A wake-up call. And by the way, wake-up call would be a compound noun too. Wake-up plus call. A wake-up call. You go to a hotel and you call in the evening to the front desk and you say, I'd like a wake-up call for 6 a.m. A wake-up call. To carry out means to carry something out. You carry it out of the store. But carry out is often the same as take out, meaning food that we take home from a restaurant. To stand up is what you do after you're sitting down or lying down. You stand up. But have you ever heard of a stand-up comedian? A stand-up or stand-up comedy is someone who stands and tells jokes. A stand-up routine. A stand-up comedy. To put down has a few meanings. One meaning of put down is to put something in the direction of down, to put it on a table, to put it on the floor. But to put somebody down in an idiomatic sense means to make them feel belittled or inferior. So a put down, the noun form, is a kind of insult to make somebody feel inferior. That was a really terrible put down. Don't talk to me like that anymore. To push up means to push something in the direction of up. Push up. But a push up is a kind of exercise where you get on your belly and you push with your arms up. A push-up, it's a kind of exercise. To look out means to watch, to be careful. Look out for the bad guys. Look out for traffic when you're driving. But a lookout, the noun, is usually a place where you stop for a scenic view. You'll be driving and you'll see a place that says, look out ahead. And you stop at the lookout, you get out of the car and you look. And it's usually someplace very beautiful. It's a lookout. To drive by means to drive by some area, around some area, near some area, past some area. But drive by is what we do when we use to describe another noun. For example, a drive-by shooting. Somebody drove their car and shot a gun while they were driving. A drive-by shooting. We've taken drive-by to use it as a noun, connected it with another noun, shooting, and we get a completely new compound noun, a drive-by shooting. Now, unfortunately, I can't tell you all of the phrasal verbs out there. That's something you'll have to go out and get on your own. And I know that it can be frustrating sometimes because truly there are thousands of phrasal verbs. But please recognize how they're pronounced. If you're using something as a phrasal verb, the second part or the second word, which looks like a preposition, should be stressed. If you're using this as a noun, and a lot of times you have a good indication when you're looking at writing, because often those two words will be squished together. They'll look like one word. But make sure that you're stressing the first part. The first part indicates it's a noun. So be very careful of that. And don't forget, when you have a three-part verb, you need to stress the second word. Okay, so go on with... go on with what you were saying. Stress the second word on. Go on with. All right, very good. Now, in the second part of this lesson, I'd like to talk a little bit about acronyms. Acronyms, spelling, and numbers. So what is an acronym? Think about the United States of America. When you talk about the United States of America, do you always say, I have been to the United States of America? It's too long. So what do we do with that? We take the U from United, the S from the word states, and the A from America, and we get USA. This is an acronym. We take the initial letters from each word and put them together to make an acronym. Now, some people get really confused about where to stress the letter in the acronym. It's really quite easy, but you've got to be careful on this. I don't want to hear you say, my PC, my PC, when you mean your PC or your personal computer. PC would be very confusing to your listener. What is a PC? So this is what we do when we use acronyms. We start with an intonation somewhere in the middle, drop down, and go up again. We don't say P-C, we say P-C, P-C. Of course, that's very slow. We're going to speed it up a little bit. P-C, P-C, P-C. Do you hear that? P-C. I have a P-C. My personal computer. I use a PC. Okay, so an RN is a registered nurse. An RN. Notice how the R drops down, goes back up again to the N, and then drops just a little bit. She's an RN. She's a registered nurse. An RN. Sometimes I visit Los Angeles and I say I'm going to L.A., L.A., starting in the middle, dropping down just a bit, and going up, and then dropping again. L.A., now you've got to be very careful to make sure you connect these words, or these letters. The sounds are not independent of one another. L.A., L.A., I live in L.A., Los Angeles. If you go to college and get a Bachelor of Arts, you get a B.A., B.A. He has a B.A. in fine arts. B.A. When you watch the television, you don't watch the TV. Most people won't understand if you say TV. You watch the TV. TV. When you visit the United Nations, you say, I'm going to the U.N. U.N. Last year I visited the UN. It was very interesting. UN. So make sure that you start somewhere in the middle, drop down a bit, go up high, and drop just a little bit more. We do the same thing when we have three letters in an acronym. We start in the middle, drop down on the second letter, go up again. So we have a PhD. He finished his doctorate last year and he got a PhD. He has a PhD. He has a PhD in physics. PhD. The Federal Bureau of Investigation in the United States is called the FBI. Notice how they're connected together. FBI. He works for the FBI. And of course, we've got the USA. USA. All connected together. USA. Some people study business and get an MBA. An MBA. The IRS collects the taxes in the United States, and we say it IRS. IRS. The IRS is the agency which collects tax. The IRS. When we have an acronym with four letters, we still do the same thing. Start in the middle, drop down, go back up again. So we say UCLA. UCLA. He's going to UCLA this fall. UCLA. And NYPD. NYPD. The New York Police Department. The NYPD. And a local radio station is called KCLA. KCLA. If you listen, you'll hear these all over the place. We use acronyms all the time. Start listening in. Start picking up some of these acronyms and see if you can hear how they start in the middle, drop down, and go back up again. Now, we do the same kind of thing when we spell. So if I want to spell the word pen, how do I do that? Where do I start? It's really not so different from how we do the acronyms. So if you say, Sherry, how do I spell pen? I would say P-E-N. P-E-N. Notice I started somewhere in the middle. I drop down. I go up again and then a little bit of drop at the end. P-E-N. Pen is spelled P-E-N. Book. Book is spelled B-O-O-K. B-O-O-K. Now notice I didn't say O-O. You've got to separate the two O's or people won't understand you. Anytime you have two letters that are the same, make sure you separate them. B-O-O-K. But I started in the middle. I dropped down. I went up again on the K. B-O-O-K. Now we get to a word like pencil. Pencil. Now it's possible for me to say P-E-N-C-I-L. It is. It's very possible to do that. But generally, if we have a word that has more than five letters, we often break it into pieces. So since this word has six letters, we could break it into two pieces. We could say P-E-N-C-I-L. P-E-N, and then pause for a second, C-I-L. It helps the listener understand and gather all that information at the same time. And especially if somebody is writing and they ask you, how do you spell pencil? If you say P-E-N-C-I-L, they might not get it right away, especially if it's somebody who's not really familiar with English or maybe a young child. So the rule is generally, if it has more than five letters, break it into pieces. So I've broken this one into two pieces. But if it's somebody who does not understand well, a child or someone who doesn't speak English very well, you might want to even break it even more. You could break it into sets of two. You could say P-E-N-C-I-L. Or if it's a very young child, you might say P-E-N-C-I-L. So you've got to know who your listener is. Now, there's something else that sometimes we do with this. Sometimes, since we know that we're going to continue spelling the word, and when we break it into pieces, we don't drop down after the first chunk. We could say, as I just demonstrated, P P-E-N, or we could leave a little question mark hanging there. It's going to show that we're going to continue spelling more letters. So I could say P-E-N, or I could say P-E-N, N, N. Notice how it went up. How do you spell pencil? P-E-N-C-I-L. P-E-N-C-I-L. Now, this is also very common when you know that you're not finished. And this happens in sentences too, by the way. You know that you're not finished. You can go up in the intonation. But when you are finished, you need to go down. So, P-E-N-C-I-L. I go up, then I go down. What happens if we have a word like bookcase? Bookcase. Well, now we've got a word that has 8 letters. Wouldn't be very good to spell all 8 letters at the same time. B-O-O-K-C-A-S-E. A little bit hard. So, depending on who your listener is, we could break it into 2 pieces. We could break it into 3 pieces, 4 pieces, whatever you think is comfortable. I wouldn't say more than 5 letters at one time. Now, since this is a compound noun, it's pretty easy to judge where you should break this. I would probably break it after each word. So we have book and case. So I would probably say B-O-O-K-C-A-S-E. B-O-O-K-C-A-S-E. Now, if I wanted to go up, indicating that the word wasn't finished yet, I could say B-O-O-K-C-A-S-E. I go up on K, I come down on E. But if it's somebody younger or someone who doesn't understand English well, you might say B-O-O-K-C-A-S-E. So what happens if we take a look at something that has just 5 letters? For example, my name. I could say, my name is Sherry. Now, my spelling is not that common. There are a lot of different ways to spell Sherry. So, Sherry, how do you spell your name? I might say, my name is S-H-E-R-I. S-H-E-R-I. I start in the middle, go down, go up. Or I might break it. I could break it into chunks of 2 letters or 3 letters. So what I might say, it's S-H-E-R-I. Or I might say it's S-H-E-R-I. It's totally your preference. Just don't go more than 5 letters at a time. Otherwise, you might confuse your listener. The same thing goes for the word pizza. Pizza. How do you spell pizza? I could say P-I. Z-Z-A. I could say P-I-Z-Z-A. I probably wouldn't say P-I-Z-Z-A. Probably not. I divide that word into either 2 or 3 letters at a time. But it's your personal preference. How about the word elephant? Elephant. I don't know how to spell elephant. How do you spell elephant? Elephant. E-L E-P-H-A-N-T. E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T. I could also say E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T. Notice I go up and then down. Really, it's your choice. But be careful. Speak clearly. This is very important when you're on the telephone. And for many people who speak English as a second language, this is really important that you're very clear with how you spell things. For example, if you call someone up and they say, could you please tell me your name? If you give them your name and it's not a common name that they're used to, you may have to spell it. Make sure that you break your spelling into chunks, 2, 3, 4 letter chunks. And that will really help the people that are listening to you. We do the same thing with numbers. We start in the middle, we go down, we go up again. So, for example, we have the numbers 4 and 2 and 1. What do you think we're going to say? 421. 421. So where do you live? I live at 421 Main Street. 421. When I talk about a phone number, it's easy to see where you're going to pause. That's exactly why we put those hyphens in there, so we can see the pause easily, and we also make sure that we make the pause. So I don't read a phone number as 555-1234. It's too fast. 555-1234. 1234. 555. I took it up. 1234. 1234. I could also say 555-1234. So the 555 could go up or it could go down. It's up to you. But make sure you get a little pause there. When we have a longer phone number, we do the same thing. 916-248-4008. 916-248-4008. 916-248-4008, going down. And my zip code is 95814. I could say 95814 or 95814, depending on you. Some people like to divide it after the first three numbers, and some people continue until the very end of the numbers. 95814 or 95814. Okay, a nice random number. What is that? 3297865. It's a pretty long number. Where could we divide that? There's no natural division in this one, so I'm going to have to choose something. Depending on my listener, I might say 3297865. Or maybe I would say 3297865. There are several different possibilities here. The only thing that you don't want to do is just leave one number alone. You probably wouldn't say 3297865. Get that 5 in there somewhere. Just one number alone is a little bit strange. But groups of 2 or 3 or 4 and sometimes 5 are acceptable. I'm sure you have a lot of numbers in your life. Try them out. Try out all the numbers. Try the intonation where you go up if you're not finished. And then you go down when you are finished. So these are some very basic rules of intonation. Kind of interesting or different kinds of intonation. But perk up your ears. Notice that intonation. Perk up. Perk up your ears. It means listen well. Perk up your ears. Listen to the people around you. Again, you're going to hear how they use the phrasal verbs with more stress on the second part. You're going to hear these acronyms, how they start a little bit in the middle, go down, go up. You're going to hear the spelling. You're going to hear the numbers. And imitate it. Do as they do. You'll pick it up. But now you know the rules. Go try them out. And I think you'll do very well. So thanks for being with me in this lesson, and I'll see you in our next class. Bye-bye.